what it is a redoubt. You feel me? Nah.
Nah.
Nigga, but why I keep fucking up? Fuck, bitch. Like in every nigga picture, that's a red flag. Phone on do not disturb, that's a red flag. Calling every nigga brother, that's a red flag. You don't ask me for no rubber, that's a red flag. You don't cook, you don't clean, that's a red flag. No designer in your closet, that's a red flag. Ain't no money in your wallet, that's a red flag. Popping pussy on the car, that's a red flag. Selling pussy on your period, that's a red rag. You ain't never got your kids, that's a red flag. Knowing every nigga dead, that's a red flag. You ain't trying to get no bread, that's a red flag. Pulling up with bad tags, that's a red flag. Stealing out of Walgreens, that's a red flag. You got five baby daddies, that's a red flag. You still staying with your mama, that's a red flag. Speaking down on your nigga, that's a red flag. Your frontal always lifting up, that's a red flag. Your lashes always coming off, that's a red flag. The bitch always running off, that's a red flag. You tuck your tag in your shirt, that's a red flag. Bitch, you be stealing where you work, that's a red flag. You keep popping all these perks, that's a red flag. You say you scamming, it don't work, that's a red flag.
Man, what's good? Y'all tapping into Urban Moguls with B. Right here, we dropped the most game, man. Today, we got a real special guest. He goes by the name of Just Bang. Look, man, before we start this interview, go hit that subscribe button, that like button, that notification bell. And when you got some time, go check out some other interviews while you at it. You feel me? But look, man, we right here with Just Bang, bro. Go ahead, let the people know where you from, what you do, and what's your ethnicity.
My name's Just Bang. I'm from the Dubs, Murder Dubs, a part of Oakland. One of probably the biggest historical spots in the town right now. My ethnicity, man, I'm from Zimbabwe. No, I'm just playing. I'm just dark skinned, you know.
Yeah,
black nigga, you know what I'm saying? But that's pretty much, you feel me?
Right on. What's so historic about the Dubs? I mean, I don't even know.
It's our history. It's historical to us. You feel me?
Okay.
Like, a lot of motherfuckers probably know about it. A lot of motherfuckers probably don't. But, like, it mean that much to me that it's historical. It's like, once I go, a motherfucker gonna know where I'm from. You feel me? Same way with some of the biggest people that I come up under, or even some of my young niggas. Like, you feel me? R.P. Vendell, R.P. Buck, Willie Clay, my young nigga Lil Eli just passed. Like, when they go, they gonna know them with some dub niggas. You feel me?
Well, yeah, man. Let's jump right into it right now. What was it like growing up in Oakland or your section at a young age?
Shit, I ain't gonna lie. I didn't see too much growing up. I didn't see shit that I could talk about, shit that I can't talk about. When, shit, I moved to the Dubs when I was in the third grade. I stayed in the Village. Man, I stayed in 65ville before I moved to the Dubs.
Okay.
But shit, before I moved to 65, I stayed on 25th. I stayed in the Dubs on 25th. And shit, then I moved to the Ville. I did I stayed a couple years in the Ville to like around the third grade. Then I moved to the Dubs. And I've been in the Dubs ever since. But shit, I didn't see too much.
What was that experience like? I'm not sure if, you know, it's a problem going from a section to another section. If, you know, kids look at you different or try to press your line because you ain't born and raised there.
I mean, that shit just like being grown. Like, you feel me? Like, if you was an older nigga coming from a certain part of the city and then you come trying to adapt to another part, a lot of motherfuckers ain't gonna gravitate to you just so easily. You feel me? And that was the same for me. When I moved to the Dubs, it was kids that was there in kindergarten to the third. You feel me? So.
Yeah.
It was, who was this nigga when you came to school? But shit, by the first day of school, it was over with, and it was over with.
Yeah.
Feel me? After the first day, everybody knew who I was. I stayed on my block. It wasn't like I stayed two blocks down or three blocks up and then was like, oh, this where I'm from. Like, I stayed on my shit, you feel me? But, you know, it's Oakland, so nigga, rather when I stayed in the Ville, when I stayed in the Dubs, I didn't see too much. when I stayed in Ville, they used to call, it was, when I stayed in Ville, I stayed right across the street from Havens Court. That was the high school, you feel me, right? That was a high school in East Oakland, Havens Court. Lockwood was the elementary school, Havens Court was the high school. They used to have a baseball field right across the street from my shit. They used to call it Dead Man Park. Because them niggas used to be funking so hard, they used to just leave bodies and shit over there. They called it Dead Man Park. And the dubs, it's just the murder dubs. That shit crazy. I done seen
self-explanatory.
Man, I seen my best friend get killed at like 13 years old. I seen five people shot, two die. I seen that shit. Lil Willie Clay and Jay Black, they passed away. I seen that shit my own eyes. That was the first time I seen somebody. Mind you, I'm from Oakland, I didn't went to sleep to gunshots, woke up to sirens, you feel me? So it was normal, you feel me? But to actually see that shit firsthand, like not just hear it, like actually see that shit, like that shit fucked me up.
What kind of PTSD at a young age, how does that really affect you? Does it make you actually like have some animosity grow within inside of you? Or is it like, man, I gotta stay out the way because, you know, it happens to people randomly sometimes, you know?
That shit different. Like, you feel me? Like that PTSD shit, it go a long way. You feel me? It might stop for a minute. It might go away for a little bit, but that shit always come back. Like, you feel me? Like, it's like riding a bike with PTSD. Like, you're gonna forget about it, but you're gonna always know about that shit. You're gonna always know how to do it. I got PTSD shit, I got anxiety, all that shit, but that shit come from my history of being in the streets. I done been shot a couple times. I got PTSD from that shit. But that shit help you stay alive, though.
Right.
You feel me? Like, a motherfucker might be like, oh, you scary, you paranoid. A motherfucker that ain't paranoid or ain't scary is a motherfucker that's slipping. A nigga that think it's just cool and ain't nothing gonna happen to him, and then something happened to him because you think you bigger than who you is. You feel me? Like, the biggest motherfuckers get grabbed. That nigga PNB Rock got smoked from dropping the location.
Man.
Feel me? So it's just like, it can happen to the best of us.
And I mean, shit, with that being said, bro, you know, there's a lot of artists, you know, getting caught slipping and, you know, passing away and whatnot. What do you think they need to know ahead of time, you know, coming to the Bay Area? Because a lot of it's going on in L.A., down south, right? But the Bay Area is dangerous as well, you know what I'm saying?
You know, this is one of the dangerous cities fucking with the Bay. So if you ask me, if you're going to come to this motherfucker, just be careful. You feel me? Like, stick to yourself, have security, you know what I'm saying? And just make sure you straight, you feel me? Like, I'd be cool. Like, 9 times out of 10, if I go out, I ain't going out unless I got security with me.
Right.
Or if I got a group of motherfuckers with me.
Yeah.
I be having my uncle with me, bald head, that he makes sure I'm straight everywhere I go. Yeah. Debo, I might have Debo with me. You feel me?
Roscoe. Pulling up on the bike and shit, huh, Debo?
Yeah. That's my man. It's a Mac guy. Like, you feel me?
Yeah.
They make sure I'm straight everywhere I go. Like, I be having my young niggas. I be having some of my older niggas tell me, like, man, stay on your shit. Be careful. Woo, woo.
Right.
But I know who to call when I come to this motherfucker.
Hell yeah. How do you bounce back? Because you mentioned that you've been shot before. And, you know, wondering, how do you bounce back from that? How do you able to just keep moving on with life, man? Because I feel like if that were to happen, it's like something where it's like, man, you super paranoid. You know what I mean?
And I was paranoid before I got shot. You feel me? So it's like being shot and shit, it's a part of the lifestyle. You feel me? You don't get too many second chances, though, so you just gotta pick God first. As long as he wake you up in the morning and he got something bigger in store for you. It ain't just what you shopping for. You feel me? So I took that shit. I took it the way it was. It was karma. It came back to me. You feel me? Due to who I was in the streets. You feel me? So he gave me a second chance. I'm just gonna take it and run with it. I got a career, I got kids, you feel me? So I ain't gonna let the streets determine who I am as a man or determine how long I'm gonna be on this motherfucker, you feel me?
You got purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Man, let's bend the block real quick. How many siblings did you have, man, growing up? What was the household like? You had both parents, one parent?
I had one parent growing up. I know my daddy. You feel me? Like, I ain't gonna say I know of him because I know the nigga. You feel me? But as far as me, I'm 30 years old. So within a 30 year span, I seen that nigga enough times I can count on my hands.
Yeah.
And that's probably the same amount of time he didn't see my kids. You feel me? Yeah. I got two daughters.
My bad. I'm gonna cut you off. That's why. I mean, one of your verses in your songs, I think you said they gonna say I'm. Yeah, Perry's son, I'm gonna say I'm Tammy's baby, right?
Yeah, they gonna say I'm Perry's son, I'm gonna say I'm Tammy's baby. A lot of motherfuckers gonna be like, you look like your daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm be like, yeah, but I'm my mama child. My mama had to play the mom and the daddy. Feel right. me? She had to play nigga, she had to play Santa and all that shit. Like, you feel me? She got three kids, one job. You feel me? Sometimes my sister had to start school before me and my brother because she had to get her clothes before she got ours. You feel me? We had to sacrifice some of that shit. I got to a certain age where I didn't even have Christmas no more.
Yeah.
You feel me? So, like, my household, at one point, I got three siblings. I could say my sister and my older brother, Joseph and Dominique. That's my sister. That's my little brother. That's my little sister and my older brother name. But I got four cousins, first cousins, Pooh, DeMarie, Deja, and Danye. Them my cousins. Them my first cousins. That's my mama's little sister.
Right.
Kids, you feel me? At one time, nigga, when I stayed on the eight, I stayed on where I'm from, we all stayed in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm talking about not just a couple months, I'm talking about a couple years. Like, we done did school years with each
same
other. I'm talking about same bed. Yeah. Nigga, just imagine staying in one household with three. It's a three bedroom. We got at least 13 motherfuckers in one house.
Yeah.
It's my granny. My granny just passed on my baby mama birthday like last year. So it was my granny, my mama, my auntie, my brother, my sister, and my four cousins. That's nine people. Then my uncle was staying there and his two kids. And then shit, I remember one time my auntie, her house burned down, but her apartment building, her shit like caught on fire. They had to come up there. So then we was like 15 deep in a three bedroom. It's four, it's like
hot as fuck up now.
Hot as fuck.
Everybody
fans not working. Like, man, it was living like that will make you appreciate what you got now. Like, you feel me? Not only it'll make you appreciate what you got now, it'll make you love your family more.
Mm-hmm.
Because niggas didn't have to go through shit. We didn't have to sleep on the same bed, sleep on the floor. I didn't have to sacrifice my own bed
for some people
to sleep in my bed. Right. It was times to where I say around the seventh grade. Mind you, I've been in the streets since I moved to the Duds. Third grade, I was outside.
Yeah.
So by the time of seventh grade, I ain't even coming home. Seventh grade, eighth grade, from the sixth to the eighth grade, I'm staying outside. I'm sleeping at my partner Twaddle house on 22nd and Foothill.
Yeah.
Nigga, it's me. I'm talking about we still 20 deep in that motherfucker. Yeah. It's me, Twaddle, nigga, Offset Gym, all black. Nigga,
oh damn!
I'm talking about we in that motherfucker 20, 30 deep. Nigga, we 15 deep in one room. Nigga, some nigga sleeping in his sister room, some sleeping in his other sister room. Like, nigga, so it'll make you appreciate that shit. You feel
Hell
me?
Yeah.
So it's like, going back to me looking at pictures and shit and seeing how we lived at first, and even for me staying in Vegas and coming back to Oakland and seeing how my mom and them live to this day, not saying that they poor or they struggling,
right.
But they still my family and not just stay in a different city. You feel me?
Yeah.
But like coming back home, it just make me appreciate them more, and it make me feel like it made me grind harder to. I gotta move them too now. You feel me?
Keeps you prideful and you know.
I start tripping like
ambitious.
I have anxiety attacks and all that type of shit. I come home. I'm doing too much on the road. That shit fucking with my head, and I come home. I leave my own house in Vegas and come stay with my mom and them for a couple of days, just so I can get back to reality type shit. You know what I mean?
Man, so, you know, growing up with a packed house, you being in the streets, you ever get involved with, how far did you go to, like, school? Like, did you graduate? You playing any sports in school or what?
Hell no. I ain't graduated. No. I dropped out of school in the 10th grade. I ain't never go back for no GED, no nothing. I tried one time. when I had got out of jail, I had tried to go to Laney College and try to go for my GED and all that type of shit. I was in that motherfucker for like 2 days. I think I didn't even make it through. I think I made it to getting my classes type shit.
Yeah.
But it was just too much for me. I'm like, man, I'm not going to. It wasn't, school wasn't my, it didn't keep my attention type shit. Like, when I was going to school, I was going to school for the bitches. Like, yeah. I wasn't going to school for nothing else. Like, I ain't gonna lie. I already knew how to read and count. Like,
yeah.
That's all, at the end of the day, that's all. 9 times out of 10, you can get a diploma right now, you still ain't gonna get the job you want.
Right, right.
You feel me? So it was like, I learned from me growing up and seeing my OGs, like, the good and the bad, I already learned what I want to do in life, you feel me? I seen certain motherfuckers play basketball.
Yeah.
The only nigga in my age group that I ever went to school with that made it in basketball was Damian Lillard. Mm. We went to the same school with each other. Like,
oh, y'all same age?
Yeah. So if I'm 30, he about 30 or 31, something like that, you feel me? But like, other than that, like, that was the only person I knew from my age group, my class, that was able to make it.
So
Jabari Brown too.
Oh yeah,
Jabari Brown. He went to the Lakers.
Right.
And Jameel Brown. He was he could have went to the league too. He one of the hottest DJs out right now though.
Sure.
DJ Mill, DJ Butter, Drew Banger, Slim. Like, them the hardest DJs out right now.
Yeah. Like, I was gonna say, since you dropped out of school, who was someone that you looked up to that was like, you know, that kept you level-headed in the streets, or someone that gave you game all the time and, you know, just kind of show you the ropes? I'm not saying that you need the ropes.
The older niggas from my hood. Like, the older niggas from my hood, it was some good, some was bad. Some niggas always kept a job, whether they was in the streets or not. Some of them kept going back and forth to jail. You feel me? Some of them prospered and had shit going for themselves. Niggas, some of them ain't never did shit.
Yeah.
You feel me? So it was, I had an older nigga named Tick from the hood. Growing up, like, everybody knew Tick from drinking. You feel me? He was drunk one time. It was 2000, this was around 2006, 2007. It was hella shit going on in the hood. I'm going back to the house. He damn near the only person that was outside. It was a couple niggas outside, but they was leaving. He asked me, like, where you gonna see yourself 10 years from now? Nigga, I'm hella young. I'm like 13 at the time. Nigga, I don't know where I'm gonna be 10 years from now. So I told the nigga, like, I don't know. He told me, nigga, if you don't know where you go, he like, go home then. I'm like, I'm on my way to the house. He like, yeah, you ain't going home because I'm kicking you off the spot. He like, nigga, you going home because you need to think about where you gonna be 10 years from now. Because if you don't know where you gonna be 10 years from now, nigga, you gonna be right here with me.
Man.
And to this day, he ain't even 10 years from him telling me that story. That nigga don't even drink no more. He got a clothing line. He got a job. He doing all
leading by example.
Like, leading by example. Like, that's somebody that I can be like, he taught me. He told me something that he followed his own. Like, you know how motherfuckers be like, preach what you feel me? Like,
practice what you preach.
He's somebody that actually practiced what he preached it. You feel me? Like, no matter how far along it was, like, you feel me? I don't know how long it took for him to stop drinking as much. I ain't gonna say that he just a saint and he don't get a beer after work or nothing like that, but like,
he did that though.
He did that though. Like, he ain't no, I ain't gonna say he was a drunk, but he was drinking. You feel
Hell
me?
Yeah.
I done lost my uncle to it. I know what a drunk is. I done lost my uncle to drinking. You feel me?
So hell like, well, man, look, I don't mean to cut you off. Last question before we jump into part two. What's some game you could give back to the youth, the people watching this, who might be in poverty, the hood, ghetto, you know what I'm saying?
Relax. That's it. Relax and go to school. Don't be rushing to try to be what we done been through, like, or do the shit that they done seen us do and try to, like, you know, like, don't, you know, you gotta... Don't repeat the cycle. You know, you can follow somebody's footsteps, you feel me? But you gotta leave your own footprints behind for a motherfucker that respects you, understand who you is as a man. Because I done bummed my head, like, I was doing all of the above before I really focused on rapping. Like, I've been rapping all my life, but before I focused on, like, this what I want to do, nigga, I'm doing everything. I'm getting money out of bitches. I'm bipping. I'm, nigga, whatever it could. Like, I was bipping for years. Like, you feel me? Like, not trying to stop. You feel me? Because I was making money off that shit. But, like, it's young niggas. I got young niggas to this day that'll be like, bro, I need to bounce in with Woomty Woomp. I need to go fuck with this nigga. Like, you think they gonna let me bounce in? I tell them, nigga, yeah, they gonna let you bounce in, but is that what you wanna go through? You want to go through a high speed. You want the police, nigga, pin trackers on your car. You want your mama house
shit that comes with it that they don't know.
They don't know what come with that shit. Like, it's shit that come with that shit that you gonna regret at the end of the day. Nigga, if I would have kept doing that shit, I wouldn't be sitting here with you right now. We'd be doing this interview off the phone. Press 9.
What's up?
Global Tailing.
Man. All right,
come on.
Well, shit, man. With that being said, we're going to jump into part 2. If you're watching it, subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell, that like button. Y'all tapping into Urban Moguls with B. Right here, we drop the most game. Let's go. Man, what's good? Y'all tapping into part 2 of Urban Moguls with B. Right here, we drop the most game. Man, before we start this, I'm going to need y'all to hit that subscribe button, that like button, that notification bell, and go tell somebody. You feel me? If you haven't seen part 1, go back, watch part 1. Come back, watch part 2. You feel me? We right here with a real special guest. Y'all already know, the one and only, Just Bang.
What's the deal, man? We in this motherfucker.
Yeah. Let's get to it, man. How'd you get into music, man? What inspired you to start doing it?
Shit, really, I'm gonna say like growing up in my neighborhood, seeing older people rap and do music. I had a it's who I come up under. Like my granny, my granny always like listened to hella gospel or hella. She was never a church going person as far as like always going to church every Sunday or made us go to church, but she always was into her R&B, her gospel type of music. She stayed like, she had these tapes back in the day, VH1s. She had the Five Heartbeats, Temptation, and Sparkle. I used to watch the Five Heartbeats and the Temptations all the time. So growing up, nigga, I thought I was gonna be a singer or something. You feel me? I think my first album that I bought, CD, was Usher. Thinking I was gonna be a singer type shit.
Hell yeah.
But growing up in my neighborhood, I came up under motherfuckers, you feel me?
Yeah.
So I had my older niggas, J-Mo, nigga, Gwed, nigga, Gordo, what's his name? Aug and all them, they had a group under surveillance and shit, you feel me? So then Beta Weeda, he was, that, like I said before we got on camera, Beta was like one of my biggest inspirations in rapping. Besides Aug and besides J-Mo and all them, like, he was one of my biggest inspirations in rap shit because he was actually doing his shit. Like, you feel me? He was pushing the line. He had a hit called Turfs Up. Yeah. I was hella mad I had missed the video. I was hella mad I had missed that video. I was going to school. I was probably like in the 6th, 7th grade at the time. I was doing an after school program. All the bitches was going to after school program, High Learning. I ended up missing the video. But shit, my older partner Willie, he was supposed to come grab me. And I was like, I'm about to go to this after school program. He like, we got the video shoot up here.
Woo-woo. How old was you?
At the time, I was in sixth, seventh grade, so I was no older than.
Okay, so when you started rapping and started getting into it.
Yeah, that's when I really started getting into it. Me and Willie, and I think Lil Sheekin, we had did a song. I probably was like I said, 6th, 7th grade. I probably was in the 5th grade shit when I had did the song with them niggas, and I had freestyled the song. We all was freestyling, but when I had got on, nigga, I sounded like a girl, like a real baby. I wasn't mature, or what's that shit called, puberty. I didn't go through puberty yet, so my voice wasn't what it is right now. So I sounded like a kid, you feel me? But
like a young Justin Bieber.
Like a young Justin Bieber. I swear to God, I sounded hella young, nigga. And I never took it serious. Like even when I start to take it serious, like probably around like 2010, after Willie them passed away around 2010, I had dropped out of school. I was like in the 10th grade, dropped out of school. So now I'm selling weed, hitting house licks, doing all that type of shit. We was stealing hella shit. But when we was taking shit out of houses and shit, nigga, I had a lap. It was like hella. I used to always keep a MacBook laptop.
Yeah.
But one day I kept 2 MacBooks, and my little brother, Mikey, my little brother, Mikey X, he ain't my blood brother, but that's blood can't make us no closer, you feel me?
Facts.
His birthday June 7th, my birthday December 7th. His last name, you feel me? My last name, we got the same last name, you feel me? So it's like, ain't no way we can't be brothers, like, you feel me? But like, this nigga had this nigga, I had two laptops from one of the little runs, one of the little plays we did, one of the little licks we hit. I ain't incriminating myself. It's old. Right, you feel me? So, basically, make a long story short, nigga, I had the laptop. He like, man, my dad a producer and shit. He be mixing and doing all this shit for Lil Wayne's and all them niggas. Like, he like, it's a shit on here called GarageBand where he be making beats. He like, but he showed me that you can rap off this motherfucker too. Like, just plug your earphones in, find you a beat on YouTube, export it, turn it into, convert that shit over to a MP3 and rap over the shit. I start rapping like that. Like, I start really, like, putting that shit together. Everybody used to be like, bro, how you know how to rap? When I was younger, I used to catch the 62.
Yeah.
It's downtown Oakland. I used to catch the 62 from the hood to downtown Oakland. Catch the 72M. My mom used to give us $5 every day for lunch money. I used to save my lunch money, ask all the bitches at school for $1. So by the time it's for the weekend we used to catch the 62, only $1 at the time. Yeah. Used to use $1, catch the 62 to the 72M, take that motherfucker all the way to Richmond. Go all the way to Richmond, nigga. My cousins and them, they was older than me. They used to
studio.
They ain't had no studio. Mm. They just used to be listening to hella Eminems and 50 Cent and hella New York niggas and hella Detroit niggas, and they used to watch. It was like, back then it was Making a Band, P. Diddy and them. So they used to be freestyling on there. Yeah. And niggas used to be freestyling one day, and they in the house freestyling, going crazy. Nigga, one of the niggas said something to me, and they freestyle. And then they stopped, and they was like laughing. But while they laughing, I just jump in and start rapping.
Mm.
And I just start clowning all them niggas in the rap.
My
brothers and them on top of the bed going crazy. Like, hell no. Like, hell, nigga, like, we knew you be rapping and shit. But they like,
it's a matter of time.
Mind you, I'm only in the 6th, 7th grade. And I go back to the hood. Me and Willie listening to music and shit. I'm rapping over beats and shit, over the songs and shit. Never took it serious. 2010,
when you start taking it serious, man?
I started taking it serious probably like 2000. Whenever I dropped Nobody, I gotta look and see what date that was. But shit, even then, it was around 2000, I say between 15 and 14.
Yeah, right. What made you wanna, cause like I said, I heard about you before the cameras. I heard about you, you was buzzing in your section. What made you start taking things serious and knowing that you could really rap?
The acknowledgement from, and the love from, from motherfuckers outside my hood. Like, a nigga don't feel like the hood obligated to love you, or the hood obligated to like you or support you or tell you that shit go crazy. You feel me? But to actually hear that shit from motherfuckers that's not from your hood, see that shit in the comments, reading shit, like, that shit, it'll motivate you to be like, oh, I'm about to do another song.
Yeah.
And that's really what happened to me around like 2014, 15. I did that Nobody. When I did Nobody, it's like, it just took over. Like, it's like, oh, this nigga sound, this how he rap, he going crazy, boom. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, boom, 2017 or some shit, I did a song called That's Light. When I did that, it was over with. Like, I got like 300-something thousand views on Instagram, on YouTube and shit. Nigga, I'm like, it's over with. Like, it had already had a name from the Nobody, even before Nobody.
Yeah.
If a motherfucker was to go on YouTube and type in Be The Bang instead of Just Bang, they gonna see songs that probably only got 800 views. Yeah. Like, I've been rapping that long, you feel me? So it's like, a motherfucker can go back and see that shit. But it's like, I never took it serious till around that time, till That's Light came out. Once That's Light came out and I was getting them views and that acknowledgement and all that type of shit, I'm like, it's over with. Like, I gotta keep this shit lit.
Yeah. Like, would you say that you're glad that you had a jump start like that compared to just blowing up right away?
Yeah.
Compared to now, like, you actually building up a buzz and you starting to make traction in other cities outside?
Yep, because, like, I appreciate this shit now. Like, back then, I was young, so it was like, I was more focused on finance of the music. Like, you feel me? I was never getting paid off no music. Never got paid for a verse, never was asked to come to, well, I'm not gonna say asked to come to a show. A beater used to take me to shows and shit.
Yeah.
But once I got a name for myself, once I did the Nobody, then motherfuckers wanted me to come to shows and shit, but that was cool. Then when I did That's Light, that's when it was like stripper bitches want me to come to they stripper party. They want to pay a nigga to come.
Yeah.
They get promoters that I ain't never heard of, like want to come fuck with a nigga and shit like that. It was a promoter though, Boog Peso. He from the city. The nigga showed me love like he was from Oakland. I'm talking about every after hours he like one of the biggest
playing your shit.
Every after hour, every club he hosting, whatever, he playing my shit. Soon as I drop a song, he DMing me, send me that, brother, I need that.
Yeah.
And I'm sending it to him. He's spending that shit every, I could be at home or a whole nother state. He'll post something on Instagram, they in the club turned up off that shit.
Man, I was gonna tell you, like I said before, these cameras, there's only a few people who make samples sound really good. And to me, it's J Style and the Jacka and you. Do you feel like when you're sampling beats, that's your sound? Because you, like I said, you sound good with the sample beats, but then you also have like a Detroit kind of vibe to it. You know what I mean?
Yep, I think the reason why sample beats work good for me because that's how I started rapping. I started rapping off other niggas' beats on some dedication shit like Lil Wayne, like all his like, all you know how Lil Wayne was. He was the king of remixing everybody's shit.
Yeah,
you feel me? So like that's how I started rapping. I started rapping off other niggas' beats, and then when I did that nobody, that was a Shaka Khan sample. You feel me? So from that time of rapping to now, it's like. The sample beats really like my, that's my lane. It's easy for me to get on that motherfucker, rather it's fast or slow. I can do my shit on that shit.
Man, hey, if y'all ain't heard Big 2-8, go look that up right now. Big 2-8, that's the one, I ain't gonna lie. I be slapping that 3-4 times a day.
That's like my favorite, I ain't gonna lie, it's probably like my favorite song right now.
Well, man, let's jump right into it, man. You got the FOD chain. How'd you get locked in with Filthy Rich?
I got locked in through Field, once again through the hood. Debo, Matt Guy, Debo, Roscoe, Fetty, Fedro. Mm-hmm. Like I got locked in through them. But even before I was signed to Field, I used to go to his like record release parties and shit. Mm-hmm. Like with Roscoe.
Just organically then.
Yeah, like Roscoe used to take me to some of his shit, so I've been bumping shoulders with that nigga, shaking hands with him. I used to DM that nigga and shit, like, tell that nigga, like, bro, I'm about to come fuck with you, bro. Like, I'm coming, like, you feel me? Like,
me too. You ain't telling me my shit.
I was telling that nigga, like, I'm on my way, bro. I'm come fuck with you, like.
Yeah.
And, like, I done been through situations where a motherfucker be bigger than me than left me on red. Bigger artists I try to work out with, like, they'd be from my hood. Not my hood, but they'd be from the Bay Area.
Yeah.
They might be from San Francisco. They might be a part of Oakland, you feel me? And, niggas will leave a nigga on red. Now a nigga popping. Motherfuckers want to be in the comments. Motherfuckers want to like
be
pictures,
like
DM a nigga and shit. But Phil always used to like, if I send him something, even if he don't reply, he'll like my comment that I send him. Or he'll tell me like, keep working.
Yeah.
Like, you feel me? Like, I see you, keep working. And one time I had did a song, probably like 3 years ago or some shit. I did a song and I had posted on my page and that nigga had liked it. I posted on my story, he sent me the fire shit. Nigga, I was hella juice. Like, nigga, this nigga Phil just like my shit. Like, this nigga Phil just comment on my shit. Like, and nigga.
Like, about time.
Like, about time, nigga.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna lie, what really motivated the nigga though, like, he was doing shit for his young niggas that you would see niggas like Rick Ross and them do, like, pinning chains on niggas and shit and pinning watches on niggas and shit. I went to one of his record release parties. Nigga, it's his party. You feel me? Like, it's his party, nigga. He get Skinny and Tuta or Rolly.
Yeah.
Nigga, in my head, that was so clean to me. You feel me? Like, I'm like, damn, this nigga go crazy.
Yeah. Nigga, let me ask you something, bro. My fault.
Man,
when it comes to being around someone like Filthy Rich, who's been in the game for so long, and, has, you know, climbed the ladder, when you around him, do you listen more than you speak?
I can say yeah and I can say no. You feel me? Only reason why I can say no is because of me and his friendship.
Right.
You feel me? So sometimes he might have to pull my collar on some. At the end of the day, nigga, we still doing business.
Period.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So, but like, due to how close me and this nigga is, like, sometimes I talk before I listen. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn that from growing up in my neighborhood. Like, all my OGs will tell you, I always listen to them niggas. But right. at the end of the day, I got a temper and I'm a man. You feel me? So, nigga, it's like a nigga be having pride, or a nigga be like, oh, nigga can't tell me this, or a nigga can't tell me that. But, like, the music shit is just like the streets. These niggas been here before you. Like, you feel me? These niggas know shit that you don't know. So, a nigga have to listen, whether you want to or not. And that's where I was good at. I was good at listening and observing shit around me. Like,
Soaking up game.
That's how I was able to be in the position I'm in now. As far as, like, from my block to the music. Like, you feel me? Like, that big 2A shit ain't come from no rapping. Like, you feel me? That shit came from somebody that was a big 2A before me. Like, you feel me? So,
Elaborate a little bit about FOD weekend, man, because I find that really interesting. And that's big, man, because, you know, it's like being a team. And helping each other grow and helping each other push certain limitations, you know what I mean?
And that's what the weekends be about. A lot of people see the weekend and they just see the motion. Yeah. A lot of motherfuckers see the weekend, they see the fun, they see the bitches, they see the hanging out, they see the laughing, the enjoyments and all that type of shit. But it's really them weekends be business. Like, we come together so we can bond, so we can get to know each other better, so we can be able to spend more time with each other in the midst of shooting a video, in the midst of this nigga gotta finish his album, this nigga gotta do this nigga gotta do that. When we had FOD weekend in Vegas, that was for all of us. Yeah. But it was for Lil Trey to finish his album too. You feel me? When we did FOD weekend in Arizona, that was for us to finish our album. But that was for Killer them too.
Yeah.
You feel me? Killer was getting signed that weekend and shit. You feel me? So it was a celebration for them. You feel me? Like, so we done had hella weekends. We had FOD weekend, Arizona, Reno, Houston, Vegas. Man, I can't even remember, bro. Yeah. We had hella of them. We just came back from Hawaii, me and Phil.
Right.
So, nigga, like, shot 3 videos that weekend. Like, every time we go somewhere, we shooting something.
Yeah. What would you say the studio sessions are like? Is it, you know, kind of competitive? Because you hear someone drop a verse and like, man, I got to match that. Or, you know what I mean?
It's always competitive.
Iron sharpen iron type thing.
Hell yeah, it's always competitive when we in them studios with each other, because I'm not the only talented one in that motherfucker.
Right.
You feel me? It's still Phil, it's still Tudor, it's still Killer, it's still Skinny, Trey, Steve, nigga, Dolla, nigga, Roscoe, Debo, nigga, like, the name goes on and on and on, and everybody is talented on that motherfucker.
Yeah.
So when you go in that motherfucker, you gotta be prepared.
Yeah.
Like, for me, for example, like, I'm a writer. Like, a motherfucker can't outwrite me. Like, that's just me. Like, I listen to rap battles all day.
You would say that sets you apart from a lot of rappers?
Hell yeah. That set me apart from everybody, because 9 times out of 10, it's about punching in now.
Mm-hmm.
A motherfucker don't care about writing no music. It's the ABC rapping with these niggas now. Yeah. It's Dr. Seuss. They gonna go in there and green eggs and ham. You feel me? And that goes, so boom, we gonna leave that right there and I'm gonna do something else.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, so a nigga like me, I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna write. But if I'm going in there with a nigga that's punching, okay, I'm about to feed off you. You're going to go in there and punch. All right, that was cool. I'm going to let a nigga know when we going in that motherfucker. You wrote something already?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't? All right, well, whatever you write, go crazy, brother, because I'm about to eat this motherfucker up.
Yeah.
And it ain't no I'm better than you. It's a friendly competition. It's me challenging you so you can be better than me on this motherfucker. That's what I want you to be. I want everybody that rap with me, my brothers, the niggas I know, niggas I don't know, I want you to be better than me on this motherfucker, because I'm coming to be better than you on this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Rather we family, friends or not, rather we know each other or not, that's my goal, is to keep my name the way it is. Like, you feel me? My goal is to stay as hard as I can go. Like, I got songs, I got like 3 songs that I did that I had to punch in on. You feel me? And I hate them. And they feature songs.
Yeah.
I never say the name about them, though. You feel me? Because I don't like them. Like, you feel me? Like, but, like, I write before I punch in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, man, look, before we close this thing out, who's some artists that you looking forward to collabing with?
I collab with anybody. I ain't gonna lie. As long as it's two reasons. I mean, two ways I'm gonna collab with anybody. You got some good pay for the feature, nigga, or I can benefit off your followers and you can benefit off mine. Mm. But as far as besides that, I have niggas from the city. I'm city niggas.
Yeah.
Zay Bang, nigga, Lil Yee, Lil Bean, my niggas from the Rich, Blaster, Waymo Benz, nigga, Banger, Boozer, all my niggas, bro. Yeah. Like, all my niggas, like, you feel me? Like, them, that's what I wanna work on. I wanna do a Murder Rich project, me and my Richmond niggas. I wanna do a project with the niggas from the city.
Yeah.
You feel me? Project Papa, that's my dog.
Hell yeah. You feel me? Like, been
knowing that nigga my whole life. Like, you feel me? Like, if you listen to the song I got called Nobody, I said it in Nobody. I said D to the V, that's the dust to the fucking V. Been fucking with that nigga since I was a baby. That's my baby, like a motherfucker. Feel me? So, like, Mikey X.
Yeah.
If you watching this, Mikey, bitch, I need you back in the studio. That's my brother, my best friend. Like, that nigga go crazy, but he about his pay. Yeah. He about his money. Like, that shit come first. Like, rapping is like a block to that nigga. It's gonna always be here.
Right.
He know how to ride a bike, so he know how to write a song. You feel me? But I need my baby back in that studio, though. You feel
me? Well, shit, man. Appreciate your time. Go ahead, let the people know where they can find your music. If you got merch. Anything about you?
Shit, Just Bang. Just Bang FOD. That's my Instagram. I think it's I Am Big 28 on Twitter. Shit, on all platforms, just type in Just Bang, you're gonna find me. All music, old music, merch. I got merch dropping Monday. I got some merch dropping this Monday, some t-shirts, Just Bang, Easy Money. So yeah, make sure y'all stay tuned to that, man. RIP Lil Willie, RIP Buck, RIP Vendale, RIP Eli.
Yeah,
it's
man.
It's an easy call, man.
Make sure y'all go slap that big 2A. I'm trying to tell y'all. Hey, but look, y'all tapping into Urban Moguls with B. Right here, we dropped the most game. Go hit that subscribe button, ASAP. Let's go.